Welcome, everyone, to your weekly dose of pessimism. We've got 1 hour of moaning, misery, pessimism. There's not a glass half full amongst us. Picking up from last week, I don't think much has changed at Celtic. We're another week closer to the end of the transfer window, a week closer to the first SPFL match, a week closer to that Champions League game. But no one seems to have told anyone in authority at the club. Who is an authority at the club? Who knows? Brendan Rodgers name-checked Dermot Desmond for his recent talks, but nothing really happened at that. Nothing's happening in the transfer front, except there's another £17 million just rolling in from Nicholas Kuhn. We'll probably get half of that just now, or a bit more, than maybe 40% just now, in the next two tranches, as you say, in transfer business, over the next two windows or over the next 2 years. But all of that isn't helping the team win iota. Is anyone that watched the games against Cork or Estrela da Amadora at the weekend found out? We are very thin in quality when one of our established players, generally someone signed by Ange Postecoglou, drops out. There's no one really to step in. Arnie Ingles and Adam Ida are doing fine in pre-season, despite all the sniping from those from afar, those with an agenda, those that are trying to run down the manager and criticise and blame him for last summer's transfer business. Both of them are doing fine. Ingles is getting used to it. He's getting his first Celtic pre-season, and it took Adam Ida about 10 minutes to score. It wasn't the most glamorous of goals, but I reckon he could score another 20 of them at least in the season ahead. But I forgot all the introductions and all that podcast stuff. So we're the Trinity Tims, three miserable bleep, bleep, bleepers who comment independently on Celtic. None of us get invites to Celtic media passes. None of us care. And I've got laughing over to one side, I've got Eric Knott from Read Celtic, and having a swig at his Diet Coke is James Forrest from the Celtic blog. So not much has happened in the past week, has it, Eric? Or have I been missing out? Tell us your observations of the last week, apart from your joy and delight at the Nicholas Kuhn windfall.
Oh, well, I mean, I think I expressed quite admirably my joy and delight at the Nicholas Kuhn sale last week. You know, I kind of went over and above in my praise of the board and their fantastic ability to land multi-millions for players. But I mean, I've been on holidays for the last week, so I'm just back in the Celtic sort of cyberspace today. I was keeping an eye on things all right throughout the week. And as each day went by, I was looking to say any movement, any movement, any movement. And nothing was happening. So I watched the Cork City game. And I see Disco Davis said, first and foremost, Inamura has a nice left foot at least, and James can make his apologies below. I will not, and I repeat, will not make a judgment on a player against a team like Cork City in a friendly. Okay, so I think we're all jumping the gun a little bit early on this particular subject. Inamura, yes, he had a decent game. But that was a game where the opposition had little or no possession in the first half in comparison to Celtic. So he had quite a lot of time on the ball. And when I say time, there was, you know, he showed a good touch, he showed good movement, he showed a good pass. Yes, there's no doubt about that. You cannot make a judgment in a game like that. Where we'll see what Inamura is capable of is in the SPL, you know, the SPL when it kicks off. He might be an able backup for Kieran Tierney, but it's far too early to make any judgments on that. So in terms of talking about anything that's happened during the week, the only things of note really have been the friendlies, because there's been absolutely no movement whatsoever in the transfer window. We have today heard Mark Overmars dropping very not so subtle hints about the low-balling that the Celtic board is doing when it comes to Michel Ange Balikwisha. Would this indicate that the board has learned absolutely nothing at all from last summer's mistakes? It would appear to me that they have learned zero. Because this approach, it does nothing but serve to piss off the club, the selling club. It does nothing but serve to piss off us, the fans, because we saw what happened last season or last summer in that window. And to be fair, you know, it looks to me as if there isn't an original thought inside in the boardroom. It looks to me as if we took a risk last summer. That didn't work out. So now we're going back. We're reverting to type. We're going back to punts on players, 3 million at a max, in the hopes that we'll unearth the gem and we'll take it from there and see how it goes. Nobody seems to be capable of thinking outside of that box. They took the risk last summer. As far as they're concerned, risk didn't pay off. Now they've shat the bed and they're back to type. And that's what this transfer window is showing us so far. I don't see anything in this transfer window that gives me any signs of hope that they're going to do anything other than try and buy a load of players in. What are we up to now with Shin Yamato comes in? We're up to six. So we could quite possibly repeat 2023 and have 10 players in the door, all at a cheap price. And we could very much have very well have a repeat of the Mark Lawwell debacle in 2023. It looks to me that this is what I'm saying. This is the observation that I'm making. So either one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to get decent name players in the next couple of weeks who are worth more than 6 million quid, we'll say, or they're just going to go for these 3 million or less punts and hope that somewhere along the line we find a gem. But for me, it's like they've reverted to type and they've just gone back to the old drawing board and they're doing exactly the same with the footballing operation as they did before. And it also is ominous when it comes to Brendan Rodgers' long-term future with the club, whether that turns out to be a short-term or a long-term future. So that's my view on what's happened in the last week, even though I've been out of the loop a bit. Nothing's happened. I haven't missed anything by the looks of things.
Just to back up Eric's point there, Inamura, I'm getting my Japanese guys mixed up, our new central defender stroke left back, had a very good 45 minutes against Cork City. He looked very comfortable in the ball. He can pass the ball, he can move forward. A slight note of caution, Cork City have won 2 out of 29 league matches going into that game. The game was played away from their home ground at an absolutely massive pitch with tons of space. He looked very good. Inamura looked very good, looked very comfortable, but there will be tougher tests. We all know the Simon Murray test or the Ross County test. We won't get the Ross County test this year, but we'll have Livingston on plastic, Falkirk on plastic, Kilmarnock on plastic, Simon Murray, Dundee knocking players about for fun. So there are tougher tests ahead, but I suspect it's going to be very difficult to find a competent left back that's going to come in and be happy playing back up to Kieran Tierney. So it wouldn't be a surprise for me if that was the option on the bench for the Champions League qualifier. James, you've been as active as ever. There's been a few belting articles come out this week. I think one of the themes is why Celtic supporters should be worried at this minute. So all the happy clappers that are out there telling us it's only June the 20th, it's only June the 28th, it's only July the 5th, it's only July the 14th. What are you worried about? We've seen this movie before. We're not gullible. We know the people involved. We know the characters involved. We've only seen two decent transfer windows in the last decade, and both of them were conducted by Dom McKay and Ange Postecoglou, backed up by Ange's agent, Frank Trimboli, and they get things done. As soon as the summer 21 transfer window was over, they were looking towards January. And on the 31st of December, they had three players lined up to come in. Quite clearly, we had no real idea what we were going to do to replace Kyogo. Kyogo was sold in January. No real effort made to bring in a suitable replacement. And we're more than halfway through this transfer window. The first league match is less than 3 weeks away. The manager wants to be planning. He wants to be playing his new players, his new formations against Sporting Lisbon, against Newcastle and Ajax, and there's absolutely no sign of that. When the defence is without Carter Vickers and Alistair Johnson, it's a shell. So, James, why should Celtic supporters be concerned at this minute instead of just putting it all back and trusting things all to fall into place towards the end of the window, with a Champions League place up. We're in a playoff, we're seeded in the playoff, no need to worry about it. Over to you, James.
Well, I'm not going to ask Celtic fans to be unduly concerned right now, right? But I'm going to ask them to be wary, and I'm going to ask them to be a bit more vocal if they're unhappy with the situation. Now, there's people like Disco Dave who are happy with the situation. I'm not asking them to pretend to be unhappy. But if you are concerned, if you do have issues with the time things take and with the way things are happening in the direction of travel that it looks like we're on, and there is no denying that it looks like we're in a very worrisome place, then you need to speak up about it. It's your duty and your responsibility as Celtic fans to speak up about it if you're genuinely unhappy and if you're genuinely starting to worry. Because this is the only time you're going to get to make your voices heard and to be unhappy and register your unhappiness. Because if we wait a month, then the window's shut and it's too late. The only people who can shift the dial here, Rodgers and Desmond perhaps, but there are issues there which I'll go into a bit later on. The only real people who shift the dial are us. If the fans are unhappy and the fans are seen to be unhappy and they're vocally unhappy and they're saying this is taking too long, get a move on, support the manager, put some money into the team. If we don't do it now, then it's going to be too late to do it. I don't know why so many people do this to themselves every single year. It's too early to be complaining. Wait a week, wait a month. The window's not shut yet. So wait until it is shut. Fine, wait until it is shut and then join the chorus of complaints. But you know what? Once it's shut, it's too fucking late to complain. Too late. And then we're waiting for January. And you know what will happen in January? What happens all the time? The same excuses will get trotted out. January's a hard time to do business. We shouldn't be trying to do this stuff in January. Well, maybe you shouldn't be selling your main striker in January and hoping to replace him if it's a difficult time to do business. You know what I mean? It's the same old excuses all the time for these people. So if you're concerned, if you are worried, if you want things done at a quicker pace, this is the time to complain. Otherwise, it's going to be too late. And the board knows that. That's why people keep on banging on about, oh, you know, oh, it's still early in the window. Ah, Celtic don't do their business till late in the window. Celtic do their business late in the window, if they do their business at all. And maybe
Davis,
you want to be...
Davis King on to pass Laurie's there.
Yeah, Disco Dave's comment is all about that January transfer window.
I always under... the one Ange ran, not the one the board ran, the one Ange ran off his own knowledge base. And you see how rapidly things work when people who know what they're doing are running it. Because it wasn't Matt O'Reilly we were supposed to be trying to sign for the central midfield berth. It was the guy at Middlesbrough called Riley McGree. And the second he turned us down and opted for Middlesbrough, Ange just scored his name off the list and moved on to target number two, who turned it to be the best thing that could have happened. But that's how quickly we can move when the right people are running the show. When people are in charge who are only dragging their feet. And I like Disco Dave's comment about all our best players have all been under £5 million. Well, that, I'm afraid, is bollocks. Jota cost us more than that originally. Carter Vickers cost us more than that originally. Odson Edward cost us more than that originally. There are two players in the team right now who we could sell for a profit. Right now, no matter what Stephen McGowan and other people think, Arne Engels and Adam Adia. And they both cost us more than £5 million. I'm really tired of this narrative that we wasted money last summer. I don't know who's pushing this line, but it's bullshit.
I think we do know who's pushing this line. Someone that likes to be in the limelight but not in the limelight. Someone that likes to make the decisions. And if he's not making the decisions, you appoint someone to make those decisions. Well, there's Disco Dave for more nonsense. Disco Dave, the only decent transfer business we've done in the last 5, 6, 7 years was under Ange Postecoglou, Dom Mackay and Frank Trimboli. None of them are at the club now. And we saw what happened in 2023 when Matt Lowell brought in 7 useless projects. Thankfully, we now seem to be getting rid of them. But you're right to highlight those transfer windows. As James said, that's how business can be done. It can be done efficiently. Clubs all across Europe have made their first moves. We've done well with getting Ben Nygren. I'll pronounce that properly this week. Last week it was Nygren. This week it's Nygren. That was a good signing. That was great. Kieran Tierney was arranged in January. That's great as well. But the team needs currently about 5 or 6 players. The minute that Jota was injured, it's just been told to Nicholas Kuhn, sorry, Nicholas, you're not moving in this summer. You'll need to hang around for another 6 months or a year. Simple as that. And if he doesn't, if he takes a huff, then he goes into hibernation and he disappears back to the obscurity he was in pre-Rapid Vienna when he couldn't find a club to get things moving. There's loads of ways of doing things differently. Lots of clubs operate better than Celtic. We'll park that one for the moment, but I suspect it'll be a running theme through tonight's show. Eric probably missed Saturday's game, but I know that James watched Saturday's game and he wasn't very impressed by the co-commentator, the master of the bleeding obvious, Peter Grant, telling us all the great tales from bygone days. You're not alone in that, James. I don't think Peter Grant did his very best for Celtic as a player, but my dad, he's got similar feelings to you when he hears Peter Grant on Celtic TV. He's like Stephen Cragan. He just cannot keep quiet. The minute the main commentator stops, off he goes, Peter Grant or Stephen Cragan. It's as if they're getting paid by the word. Look, there's Disco Dave. I don't know. Can we filter Disco Dave that leaves out 3 out of 4 comments? Because they all seem to be very similar. Same as last week and probably same as next week. But James, what's been your take on the 2 preseason games so far? It doesn't look as if anyone from the Lowland League's ready to step up. And the guys that we rely on, they're getting a bit thin on the ground. Greg Taylor's left. Kieran Tierney's a very decent replacement. But without Nicholas Kuhn, there's a lot. We should never ever be looking at Marco Tilio playing. Yang's bad enough. Yang's tolerable. But Marco Tilio, no thanks. But James, what's your thoughts for Saturday's match mainly? And if you want to comment on the game at Cork as well.
They were bog standard pre-season friendlies against low calibre teams. And we were lucky in the Cork one to win the game late. And we didn't get lucky. And this one, the 3 goals we lost were all to one extent or another due to naivety. But the third one is especially interesting. If the third goal doesn't convince people inside Celtic that we badly need a midfield anchor to take the place of McGregor when McGregor's not playing, or even better, to let us play McGregor further up the pitch, then they're crazy, because putting a kid into that role, especially one who's never played that role, was absolute madness. Even in a friendly game, he's too far up the pitch when the high ball comes in. And Dane Murray, because Dane Murray also lacks experience, is trying to cover where he should be, and he also gets caught. It was an avoidable mistake. Avoidable mistake. If we'd assigned a half-decent ball-winning midfield anchor, that would never have happened. We could have took McGregor off and put that guy on, and he would have held his position and known what to do. The kids don't know what to do. They've been playing in the Lowland League. We kind of hold it against them. Some of these players might be really talented, right? But I remember having an argument with an Ibrox fan when they were trying to claw their way up for the third division, and they were making arguments for why Lee Wallace and Ian Black and players like this should still be selected for Scotland, right? And I said to one of them, look, we're talking about the lowest tier of the Scottish game. If you put Lionel Messi in the lowest tier of the Scottish game, he'll regress rapidly and won't be the same player in a year. So the idea that we're going to take players out of the Lowland League and have them cover for the first team, when they may have to go for the Lowland League 1 week to the Champions League the next, It's madness. It's absolutely insane. And right now, some of those guys are our backup players. I cannot believe that. And you saw what happens. You saw exactly what happened. Two players caught out of position by the same straightforward through ball. Mad. Absolutely mad. Cannot possibly rely on these guys for that. It's too big a step up for them. It's too much to ask any player who's been playing at that level. It's crazy. That's the way your club does things, but.
Well, a note for some of the happy clappers that are sniping away at Arne Engels and Adam Ida. Engels, Ida and Trusty played a major role in last season's Champions League. Celtic got out of their group. Celtic won three home matches. They drew two matches away. They drew away from home against Atalanta. They're quite a good team. And they got a draw that was a little bit disappointing at Croatia Zagreb. But for all those sniping at Engels, Ida and Trusty, have a look at those Champions League games last season and think how bad it would have been if they weren't playing and they were replaced by Palma, Telio, Holm, Naroki, Yang, or even Kwon. That's the guys that your hero brought in. The 2023 transfer window was utterly horrendous. And if anybody wants to criticise what went on in 2024, preface it with your comments on what happened in 2023. Seven utterly dreadful projects. We're only now getting rid of them. Their contribution has been nothing except a drain on the wage bill. So with that out the road, we'll turn to the bigger issue. Eric, you might have missed the game.
Can I make a point? Can I click on your point there? Other than Adam Ida making that run through on the young boys' Bern goalkeeper, we don't go through from the groups into the next round. And his performance the following game, after we'd sold a star striker, with no intention of replacing him, when there was still a Champions League game to go, when that could have affected where we qualified, how much money we made, even who we got in the draw. Adam Ida's performance at Villa was exceptional. It was an elite level performance. Was superb, and his goals were brilliant that night. So I don't know where some of these people, I don't know who some of these people are listening to, right? That the last transfer window was a failure and it was a waste of money. That we've signed three high profile players and they've all flopped. It is rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. I can't believe that people are still pushing it.
Just to back up that, Celtic went into the Young Boys Bern game with the focus and attention of the board on selling Kyogo. Everything was put in place within an hour of the final whistle. French media outlets all knew that Kyogo was bound for Rennes. The next day he was pictured at the airport there. So going into a Champions League match, the big focus for Celtic was to sell Kyogo. And if Ida hadn't ran through, put that shot in goal that was eventually turned into his own net, that game might have finished nothing each. And all that effort to sell Kyogo might have been put on hold or might have been discarded. So there's an idea of the priorities of the Celtic board. But the bigger issue by far, and it's related to everything we discuss, is Brendan Rodgers and his contract. Brendan Rodgers is far from perfect, but he's a hell of a lot better than anything else at Celtic Park. He's a hell of a lot better than who the next manager at Celtic will be whenever that happens. Brendan Rodgers will not struggle to find another good job, a good opportunity, a good salary. And we have him at this minute. But there seems to be no effort to accommodate what the manager's looking for. On Saturday, after the match, he was talking about people behind the scenes. He thinks, that's very important, the word thinks. He thinks that the people behind the scenes are working very hard to bring players in. It's quite a common theme for Rodgers. He won't come out and criticise, but he'll drop that comment that he thinks people behind the scenes are working hard to bring. I don't think James was best pleased with that comment that appeared there.
Right, people, and sit back, motherfucker. We're the three people who don't sit back.
Yeah,
every single day, we put our opinions forth.
It's very difficult to protest, to show your anger, but I have to commend the people that replied to the tweet today by Celtic for Newcastle United tickets. There's some absolutely hilarious answers in there. So it's £25 a ticket. I saw one guy offering £3 a ticket. That's the Celtic way of doing things. If the price tag is £25, offer £3, try and negotiate, and you get told to forget it, just walk away. So I would recommend that. It's decent therapy, and you can add your comments in here about your unhappiness, but to get it slightly direct to the club, I suspect our social media content's going to turn not very pleasant, not very supportive, but have a look at that tweet offering the £25 tickets. I think you can buy them by the thousand if you wish. But Eric, finally, what's your thoughts on the state of play with Brendan Rodgers' contract? He has spoken about it, but it's the most non-committal answer, the most neutral answer possible. And it's a question that's going to crop up continuously. We know Celtic don't comment about anything. It's unlikely to hear anything about the manager. So where do you think we stand in this delicate situation?
Well, it's always been clear that when Brendan Rodgers does not give anything away, that he's actually his body language gives a lot more away than you think. And at this moment in time, he's keeping his cards very close to his chest because he's biding his time to wait and see what happens. I think, to be quite honest, Brendan Rodgers is playing a waiting game, and that waiting game revolves around trying to see what this board is going to do, whether they're going to react to his requests when it comes to the players that he requires. So far, they're not showing any inclination to do that, and that's the worrying thing. But I suppose a couple of weeks ago there, we discussed the fact that if Maeda signed on long-term, that would probably be a catalyst for Brendan Rodgers signing on long-term. Yet there is no movement on Maeda's contract, let alone Brendan Rodgers' contract. So we have a situation where I feel at this point in time, Brendan Rodgers is playing the long game. He's waiting to see what happens. But the long game, I wouldn't say a long game, but just he's waiting to see what happens in the run-up to the end of this transfer window and whether or not he'll be backed. If he's not backed, and if he has to push really hard for what he wants and he doesn't get what he wants, that's going to make his mind up very easily for him. He's not going to have to think very hard about staying, because we have to face reality here. Right at this moment in time, we are going into a Champions League qualifier weaker than we left off this season. We are weaker than when we finished up this season. We are substantially weaker than when we started last season. And there's nothing, no matter what the happy clappers say, they cannot dispute the point that we are weaker. And that's the issue at hand here. We're heading into a Champions League qualifier where the manager now has one hand tied behind his back, because he does not have an adequate squad to face into that qualifier, as far as I'm concerned. When you think of players like Nicholas Kuhn, whatever you might say about it, the latter half of the season last season, when he stepped up in the Champions League. He would have been a very useful player to have around for this qualifier. We don't have him. We have Yang. And now we have talk. I read James' article today about Yang moving to Norwich City. They're looking to, like James made the point of saying, whatever way you look at Yang, he is still a squad player. So you remove Yang out of the equation and take him out of the squad, you're further weakening the squad. You know? So the reality is we have no problem. We have no problem selling players. We can do that, no problem. We're masters at it. But we're fucking useless when it comes to bringing players in. And that's not, like, I'm actually being sarcastic in saying that, because we aren't useless. We can do it if we want to. Just as easily as we can sell somebody for big money, we can bring somebody in for big money because we have the finance. It's because there's a reluctance from our board to take a risk. They took a risk last season on Ernie Ingles and Adam Ida and Austin Trusty. And they're shitting the bed now because they feel that they didn't give the return that was expected. We've argued, time out of bloody number, that those guys gave the return that was expected from them. They would not have 40 million quid in the bank, in the coffers, if those guys had not played the games that they did in the Champions League. And you can, whatever way you want to argue that point, you can. But the fact of the matter is, only for those three guys, we would not have qualified for the knockout stages of the Champions League. because of the parts that they played. The goal that you know that we the own goal that was scored against Young Boys Bern, the defensive performance from Austin Trusty in the game against Atalanta, and the consistently decent midfield performances from Arnie Ingles throughout the whole competition. The whole competition. He played well, as far as I was concerned. Like, the only reason that people are on those players' backs is because of what they cost. We've had the argument before that Georges Giakoumakis didn't score. He didn't score anywhere near as many. Well, how many goals did he score in his first season? 18?
14, I think.
14 in his first season. And Adam Ida scored 20. Yet, Giakoumakis was considered brilliant. Players, our fans loved him. And they thought he was fantastic. And the guy was. But he cost us £2.5 million or £2 million. So obviously he appeared to be a bargain. So the only issue that people have with Adam Ida and Arnie Ingles is their price tags. And unfortunately, we have to face reality in the environment that we play in at the moment. If we want to bring in a decent caliber of player, we have to fucking pay for them. We can't get them on the cheap anymore. This idea of punting 3 million or less on a massive group of players in the hopes that you get one gem out of it, had, like, 2023 proved we got 9 out of 10. Wrong. Totally wrong. And now we're 6 players almost into this window where we will not have spent any more than 3 million quid. And what's the end result going to be there? We don't know. We haven't got a clue, because that is gambling. We're playing Russian fucking roulette. And you see, the problem with playing Russian roulette over and over again, guys, is eventually the one bullet in the chamber will line up with the fucking barrel and you'll blow your head off. That's what happens. And that's what this board are doing. They're playing Russian roulette with the season coming up. They're playing Russian roulette with the Champions League qualifier, right? We fail in our ambition to qualify for Europe this season. If that does not get fans angry, I don't know what will. If we enter into the season and the Ibrox club are neck and neck with us and we lose at Ibrox, if that does not rile up the fans and get them going, I don't know what will. I am getting to the point where I believe that the only thing that will stir our fans into action to take up, you know, against this board and actually speak out, and I don't mean run them out of town, I mean demand what we think is fair. Just what we think is fair. The only thing that will push our fans into doing that is if we lose a title, if we concede a title to the team across the city. If that happens, then hell hath no fury, I reckon, when it comes to our fan base. Because if we lose a title to that team with 100 million quid plus sitting in our bank account, it's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable to do that. So, look, maybe I'm jumping the gun here. I could be jumping the gun here. I don't know. But the signs are ominous. The signs are the same as what we've seen all along, where things have gone pear-shaped and things have gone wrong. And it's for me, it's worrying me. Everybody's saying, you know, calm down. The transfer window has still, you know, got several weeks to run. It's like James said, if we don't speak up now, when do we ever speak up? And people are saying that, yeah, we just talk and there's no action from us. What else? We're bloggers. We write about the club. That is our action. We're calling out the shit that we see. And this is, again, at the risk of repeating myself, week after week after week, this is a fucking deja vu. We've seen this car crash too many times before, and we recognize it for what it is. So unless there is radical changes in the next 2 to 3 weeks, or, you know, we're going to, if we do this thing where we go into the last week of the transfer window, and we have a flurry of guys coming in, and they do end up having to pay away over the odds for certain players, these guys aren't going to get a preseason. These guys are going to be at a handicap going into the season, not having got a preseason with Celtic. So, look, I'm banging my head off a wall. I've said that before. I just feel like it's ridiculously frustrating to watch this and to see people actually tell us calm down, tell us take it easy. You know, it's like this Disco Dave, a car crash. It's mid-July, for fuck's sake. When else are we supposed to say it? We say it when we lose to Sevco. We say it when we're knocked out of the Champions League. You know, because we didn't exactly cover ourselves in glory against the Ibrox side last season, did we? They have the upper hand psychologically against us going into this season. Fact. Because they had the upper hand over us last season. So, look, I don't want to be a doom monger. It's the last thing I want to be. I want the best for Celtic. I want Celtic to do the best. But unless we start seeing positive signs, positive movement in the transfer window, positive movement when it comes to the manager's contract, then it's going to be a case of, I hate to say, I told you so. And then what's Disco Dave and all the rest of them going to say then? You know, calm down. It's all right, sure. We'll still win the league. Fucking A.
Cheers, Eric. An accountancy note now for the balance sheet, boys. Ingalls, Trusty and Ida were paid for by the improvement that Brendan Rodgers brought about in Matt O'Reilly. Start of last season, if you recall, Kyogo got a shoulder injury away to Hibs in that was a league match before the League Cup match. So second league match of the season, our one and only striker popped his shoulder, and that prompted the board into getting a move on and paying over the odds for Adam Ida. Ida arrived at Celtic on the 14th of August for about £9 million. 26th of August, Matt O'Reilly was sold to Brighton for £28 million, and there was high-fiving all across the boardroom. And then there was gritted teeth 4 days later when Trusty, Ingalls and also Luke McCowan could have been signed at any point during the transfer window, but they waited until after he was cup-tied at Dundee in the League Cup, and they signed him on the last day of the window. So those three signings that played a pivotal role in the Champions League success of last season were funded entirely by the sale of Matt O'Reilly, and that was made possible by the improvement that Brendan Rodgers worked with O'Reilly during his first season back at Celtic. So the club is not digging into the coffers. It's not spending Champions League money. It's not spending Adidas money. It's self-financing. The money that comes in reluctantly goes back out again. So, James, where are you standing? I think we went off at a few tangents there, but it's on the question of Brendan Rodgers and his contract. As I said, the most non-committal of comments after the game on Saturday, the issue rumbles on, and who knows what circumstances will resolve it.
Well, before I answer that, I'm going to, for the last time, not just for the last time tonight, but for the last time, going to address some of the comments, okay? And I think everyone knows who I'm going to address. What do we do other than moan? Well, let me tell you something. Moaning, the way we do it, and the fact that we do it every single day, is a lot more than you will ever do or have ever done or can even conceive of doing. And that's it. And that's all I'm going to say to you.
Because he's getting insulting.
There are people who are going to be happy no matter what happens here. I don't know whether they are balance sheet obsessives. I don't know whether they are just complacent. The idea that we will win the league this season, regardless of what we do, is nonsensical rubbish. And I can't believe that any sane person believes that. And yeah, I've always said that this is going to have two components to it. Us losing our preeminent position is going to have two components. We have to be asleep at the wheel and they have to improve. But they don't have to improve an awful lot to catch us if we are going backwards. And that is where we are going right now. We are not moving forward. We are going backwards. The problem here with Brendan's contract is that we're in a bit of a tricky position. There is a presumption, and I have one of the people who's talked about it myself, which is probably not a great idea in hindsight, is that Rodgers, because he's in his final year of the contract, holds all the cards, right? Well, I don't know if that is accurate any longer, because it presumes that there are people on the board who are committed to seeing Rodgers signing a new contract. And the fact is that we know full well that some of them never wanted Rodgers back in the first place and will not be sad to see him go. So the presumption that Rodgers holds the cards here might not be accurate, because it depends on who those people are. It depends on how much influence they hold. And maybe they're just ignoring Rodgers now and working around him, knowing that Rodgers is too much a professional to down tools, or spit the dummy, that he's made a commitment to the fans that he'll be here for the full 3 years and that he'll see it through no matter what they do to him. And it is clear that after a spell in which Rodgers had retaken some level of control, that they have taken it back. When Rodgers talks about Inamura being part of the club's signing strategy, he is distancing himself from that signing. And as all three of us have said repeatedly, the board can sign whatever players they want. Rodgers is not obliged to play any of them. Not in the slightest. And he won't. Well, Rodgers will not kiss the ring. He just won't do it. Rodgers is entitled to believe that the team and team affairs are his domain and he runs the show. And he will not take orders, instructions, advice from anybody who he does not think is in a position or should be in a position to offer him advice or instructions. Rodgers knows more than these people know. Rodgers is better at this stuff than they are. Rodgers' judgment is to be trusted more than theirs. And Rodgers will not listen to them if he thinks that they are interfering and he thinks they're wrong. And perhaps that is an untenable position because these people will not bow either. They will not make Rodgers the most important person at the club. They refuse to countenance the idea that Rodgers is the most important person at the club. And I think we're in a bad spot if that's the case. If there are people at the club who just genuinely now don't care whether Rodgers stays. In fact, if there's people at the club who genuinely want Rodgers gone, then that's what will happen. Rodgers won't stay under these circumstances anyway. Why should he? He's got better offers out there than us. He's got better options than Celtic. It's ludicrous. It's a bad spot to be in. And I'll tell you what, I completely disagree with Rodgers as well when he says the other day that, you know, this is all fine because we can resolve it all later on. We cannot possibly go into the season with this hanging over us. Every day that passes makes this a bigger, not a smaller story, a bigger story. Every day that passes. There was a moment during the Blair government, the last Blair government, when he had made a really stupid remark to the newspapers about how he was going to serve a full third term and then go at the end of it. And there were people who were like, well, you know, that's going to provoke Gordon Brown. And it did. Brown went nuts and tried to launch his wee coup. And then Blair named a day, an actual departure date. And at that point, everybody around Blair told him, you're nuts. You cannot. You've just given up your prime ministerial authority. With every day that passes, your authority is lessened. And Brown gets stronger because you've named the day. So I know that Rodgers cannot possibly come out and say, I am going at the end of the season. I know he can't do that because Rodgers' authority will ebb away with every single day that passes if he does. But in a very real sense, his authority will ebb away with every day that passes anyway. If he doesn't sign a new deal in the next few weeks, this is the story of the season. This hangs over it all. And I don't know how he can think that it will be otherwise. The newspapers will be writing about nothing else. Cannot possibly go into this campaign without Rodgers making a commitment. And he's not going to. And I don't think there's certain people at the club even care.
Full agreement there, James. As someone that goes to the AGMs, there's only one face that ever changes at the AGM. And that's the manager. The same grey suits, the same stale, pale male, with the exception of Sharon Brown, who's never said a word at the AGM. They just sit there. They put up with it. It's an hour and a half of their year that they've got to put themselves in front of the customers. But it's there's no easy solution to this. The board take the easy solution. They're just not funding. They're not cooperating. They're not supporting the manager. But if they really don't rate the manager and if the messages they send out to their messengers criticising the signings that were made last summer and the final month, final days of the transfer window, if they really believe in that, they should thank Brendan Rodgers and get their new man in charge, whoever that's going to be. But they're happy to leave Brendan Rodgers in front of the media. He's got to face, The matches at this minute are of no great interest. The main issue is Brendan Rodgers and his contract. And last week, when they got to speak to... I think only The Sun and The Record are out in Portugal with Celtic. I don't think any other papers are there. I don't think BBC, STV, Sky or Radio Clyde are there. But when they got to speak to James Forrest, the only question that's really relevant is what's happened with the manager. Of course, James Forrest says, I'd love him to stay and we're all behind him, etc., etc. You could predict it in advance. But the club really needs to do something. And the minute Rodgers signs a contract, his authority is undermined because that's him hostage to the way that the club operates. He's been back for 2 years. He knows that nothing's really changed. Nothing's moved on since the summer of 2028 when he wanted John McGinn and ended up with Yusuf Malundu or Malumbu. Nothing's moved on. So, Eric, what can you look forward to in the next week? We've got a game against Sporting Lisbon on Wednesday, and then we've got a game with Newcastle on Saturday. It'll be very interesting, the makeup of the crowd at that match. In the past, I thought Celtic might have pulled a stunt or a gimmick to get a bigger crowd, shift some more tickets, but I really don't think they care. They're not bothered. If there's 10,000 or 20,000 Celtic supporters at that match, so what? It's not going to interrupt their lifestyles and they'll all be rubbing their hands. They'll be off to Como next week. They've got, that'll be a very nice jolly. That should be about 4 or 5 days. Unfortunately, there's two matches involved as well, but they'll be holed up in a very nice Italian hotel. They'll have a choice of great restaurants, probably some sunshine, but some awkward football moments. But, Eric, what are you looking for from the Sporting Lisbon and Newcastle matches, which should see the teams, the intention should be that the team starts to take shape and some serious preparations are going ahead towards a very serious and important month of August. But the only genuine additions to the squad are Kieran Tierney and Ben Nygren. Over to you, Eric.
Yeah. What do I think? What am I looking for from these friendlies? I'm looking for players to be bedded in. So I'm looking for them to bring in the players that we require in the next week or so. I mean, that's what any normal person should be looking for them to just get the finger out and start bringing in the players that we require to fill the holes in the squad that we have and to get them into those preseason games. Sporting Lisbon's a great game to get somebody into play. So is the Newcastle game. And I'll be quite honest, right? Based on the performance in the first two friendlies that we produced, I do not see us winning against Sporting Lisbon and I do not see us winning against Newcastle United. All right? They're only friendlies, yes, but based on those performances, I don't see us winning. And if you compare and contrast that to the preseason last season, that in its own right is an indicator that we are weaker. If we lose those two games, that in its own right is an indicator that we are weaker than we were at the start of last season in preseason. So, yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I want to be optimistic and say that we'll win the games. And look, the guys might go out there and surprise me and they might put in a fantastic shift against Sporting Lisbon. They might put in a fantastic shift against Newcastle United. But I didn't see anything that could make me majorly positive in the first two friendlies. But at the same time, a lot of the B team players were used. So we also know that these guys playing in the Lowland League are not up to the level that's required. So I doubt that Brendan Rodgers is going to be putting a lot of those guys out in the games against Lisbon and Newcastle. But at the same time, he'll probably try one or two of the guys to see how they perform in that kind of high-level fixture. But overall, yeah, I mean, the main thing that I want from these friendlies is players brought in who could bet in. I personally believe we've shot ourselves in the foot with Michel-Ange Balikwisha because of the comments of Marco Overmars, that we're now going to have to pay over the odds, you know, of what they were looking for based on the way we've been carrying on. So I can't wrap my head around this, doing this again, lowballing teams. When Celtic themselves won't accept being lowballed when it comes to our players. But we have no issue with doing it.
For weeks what the fee was, and the player agreed terms, and everything was ready to go. And then we sold Nicholas Coon, and everybody knows we're desperate, and everybody knows we badly need to replace him. quickly. And so, of course, they're going to stick £1 million on the transfer fee. Of course they are. I would, you would, anybody with any sense would.
Yeah, especially when we're as cash rich as we are.
You know? Mark Overmars is trying to bump up the price. Why should he not bump up the price? We're the ones who failed to get the deal done until we sold our right-sided midfielder. And now we're desperate and now we need to sign somebody. Of course he put £1 million, £2 million on the price tag. Any sensible person would have done it. But any sensible club would never have let it happen. We'd have signed the player before we let the other player go.
Yeah, just any sensible club wouldn't behave like this.
Nonsense.
You know, it's that simple. Any sensible club wouldn't behave like this.
I'll flag up the one and only recent example of succession planning. Everyone knew going to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar that Celtic were desperate to sell Josip Juranovic and they had Alistair Johnson lined up. Alistair Johnson signed and he made his debut at Ibrox on the 2nd of January. So it can be done. Sadly, it's an isolated incident of forward planning, but that's what normal clubs do. But I want to do a quick bit of podcast drum banging. We're just short of 1,300 subscribers. So if you can, if you haven't already, please subscribe and click on the, there's a bell, I think. When you subscribe, there's a bell and that gives you notifications. So almost every week, we should be about 6:30 on a Monday. But if you can subscribe, that'd be grateful for that. It helps the profile, helps push us up the list with YouTube. Please like as well. You can like during this show or you can like afterwards. If there's a lot of comments going on during the course of the show, if you can come back and add some comments later on, it should be up on YouTube. You should be able to add comments within an hour or so. So that's a drum banging for the podcast. So James, looking forward, I'm not sure we are, but I suspect Sporting Lisbon have got a very significant, very specific purpose for the game against Celtic. There's things they want to be doing in that. I'm very certain that Eddie Howe has got some plans for the game on Saturday. And on that, Eddie Howe was never in contention to be the Celtic manager. When he resigned at Bournemouth in August 2020, he was taking a year out of football. He wasn't coming back to Celtic. He wasn't coming up to rebuild Celtic, a club with no infrastructure, in February, March, April 2021. When there was a changeover of CEO, all sorts of chaos going on. So folk can boo Eddie Howe and call Eddie Howe whatever he likes. He'll not particularly bother. He was never coming to Celtic. But Sporting Lisbon will have a plan for their game on Wednesday. Newcastle have a plan for their game on Saturday. What are you expecting and what are you hoping for from Celtic in those two pre-season friendlies?
I'll be on holiday. I'll be too drunk to care. But I've got to be quite honest. Of course I'll be in the pub and I'll be watching it. But I've got to be quite honest. Part of me hopes it's a complete shit show. It's a pre-season friendly and it means nothing. So if we're going to learn a lesson and a proper, hard, horrible lesson, I would rather it happened here than in the Champions League. So, you know, maybe we need a lesson. Maybe we need to get absolutely done. And then maybe some people will take the blinkers off. And suddenly you have people on the forums screaming that we should be signing this guy and signing that guy, or at least going out and signing somebody. A lot of people seem very relaxed about where we are right now, very nonchalant about it. Maybe we need to just get absolutely hammered in one of these games and send a clear message so people recognise that we cannot possibly go into the Champions League this ill-equipped. That's how I feel about it.
That was unusually brief from you, James.
Not much Mendy said.
Yeah. We're sort of going round in circles, but
this is what happens to you, Joe.
Yeah. We all know the issues. It's the same issues as if we had a podcast this time last year, we'd be saying exactly the same. And even then, we had the guarantee of Champions League group football. There really ought to be a bit more emphasis and interest in getting the squad up to scratch as quick as possible, because just like Sporting have a plan on Wednesday, Newcastle have a plan on Saturday, the club that we faced in the Champions League playoff They'll have been planning well in advance to reach this stage, and they'll be giving it absolutely everything. And I don't think they'll be particularly fearful of playing Celtic unless things change drastically. They'll see a club that did well last season and has been seriously weakened. There's a question mark over the future of the manager. It really is a perfect thing. If you're going to draw Celtic in a playoff, then it really is this season. That's when you want it to happen. We're the fifth-ranked team of the seeds. So the other four-seeded teams in the draw have got better recent European records than we have. But I'll pass over to Eric to send us off. So you're back from sort of a week's vacation, maybe only looking at Celtic for 50% of your waking hours. Where can we be next Monday when we come back on? What's going to cheer us up? What's going to happen that's going to put Celtic in a better place, and we can have a glass half full rather than half empty?
Well, first of all, I just want to make one point that we had record numbers on the live stream tonight. I think we hit 205 at one point, which is brilliant, because that's the strongest we've had so far. So again, our popularity seems to be growing and growing. Despite some of the naysayers and guys who are giving us a hard time in the comments, they obviously come on here because they're interested in what we have to say.
I'm grateful for every single one of them, by the way. Every single one of them who comes on and interacts with us every single week. And I might get snippy and I might get pissed off, but I am grateful for every one of them.
As am I. I mean, look, we have to debate these things. We have to talk about them. And there's no two ways about it. The three of us are set in our ways when it comes to how we feel about the board. And nothing, no matter what these guys say, is going to change that. So they can argue with us all around all they want. It won't change the way that we feel about this situation. And we'll keep hammering away at it. So that's the reality. But
show the love.
Yeah, it is. We absolutely do love and adore this club. We just want the best for it. And we just feel that this board does not want the same. And that's why we call it out. They love the balance sheet more than they love the footballing operation, and that is crystal clear. But with regards to where do I expect us to be next Monday, Joe? Look, in a positive, flowery, lovey-dovey world, we'll have won against Sporting Lisbon. We'll have 2 to 3 players in the door. We'll be all gobsmacked and blown away at the fact that these three players were landed.
In a
hat trick. I suppose one thing positive we could say, I mean, Shin Yamada, he could be a possibly decent signing if we get that over the line. It's interesting that we're going back to the Japanese market. But, you know, if he comes in and he has the same work rate as the majority of the Japanese players that have come in and shows what those guys have shown, I think it's a worthwhile investment. 1.5 million isn't going to break the bank. The investment that we made in all of the previous Japanese players we've got has paid off for us. So I'm not gonna hold the board to the fire for that one. But it's hard to be optimistic at the moment when you're just seeing the same stuff being repeated over and over again. To be positive, I would try and say to the board, this is my message to them, blow our fucking minds for once. You know? Because look, I tell you here and now, I will eat humble pie. I will praise Peter Lowell to the hilt and Michael Nicholson to the hilt if they do what I think needs to be done. But I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. So I don't have anything to worry about on that score. But
nothing will make me happy when I sit down at the end of this window and eat the biggest plate of humble pie in existence. Nothing will make me happy. Because I'm going to the season with full confidence. And
absolutely, I'm the same. I'd be delighted. Like, if they do what I want them to do, then in my eyes, they're doing their job. And that's all I bloody want. But they're not doing their job at the moment. They're not. And if you don't call it out, nothing's going to change. Even if we do call it out, nothing's going to change because it never does anyway.
I'll pass the final word to James, the voice of reason on this podcast.
Just right.
Sum up and sign off this podcast, James. Over to you.
This is going to be a tough season. I genuinely think this is really going to be a hard season. The club across the city will be a different team. I don't necessarily think they'll be a better team. I look at their signings, and if Aberdeen or Hearts or whomever else had signed them, I don't think we'd have anything to be worried about. I don't think that Russell Martin is that great a manager. He's already made a number of mistakes that a mere experienced manager would never have made. Like, they're going into this game on Thursday on the back of what? One actual proper pre-season friendly. That to me is absolute lunacy. Absolute lunacy, and I hope they pay a high price for it. But them notwithstanding, it looks like it's going to be a tougher campaign. Teams think they've figured out Rodgers for a start. And if Rodgers doesn't adapt enough, we are going to drop points in more games this season than we have in the last few. Especially if we don't get our act together and sign some half-decent players. Hearts should be a better team. McInnes would not have been the sensible and sane choice for Hearts if they really wanted to progress, right? But there'll be a tougher side to beat. And he will put points on the boards. He might not buy into the full Tony Bloom strategy, but he'll put points on the board and probably a lot more of them than they got last season. Aberdeen should be absolutely flying on a high from their end to the season, which granted is possibly as much our fault as anything else. But these teams will all be better. Hibs will definitely be better. And they will give every team in the league a game this year. And so it's got to be tougher than it was before. And with the managerial situation, the uncertainty of Rodgers hanging over us, it's a problem that we did not need and do not need. We usually win the title when we hit 90 points. 30 wins out of 38 games. We have a lot of work to do if we're going to hit 90 points this year. And if we don't hit 90 points this year, then that is Russian roulette. And not as Eric says, we won bullet in the chamber. We're playing Russian roulette with a half-filled gun. There'll be three bullets in the chamber, and it's 50-50.
Well, on that pessimistic note, that's enough. You've had an hour and 2 minutes of pessimism this week. You'll need to find your pessimism on our three blogs for the next 7 days before we reconvene again next week. But if Michael Nicholson, Peter Lowell go crazy, we'll be the first to praise him. But I suspect that's unlikely to happen this week. But perhaps they'll strengthen the squad, reach the Champions League, and have 12 points out of 12 going into the September international break. But that's as optimistic as I'll get. Time to call it a day, and we'll catch up again next week. Thanks for tuning in. Please like, share, subscribe, and all that YouTube stuff. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week. Good luck. A lot of people.